No risk it, no biscuit.
Coming from the Arizona desert, presented by SBNation.com. For Arizona Cardinals fans, by Arizona Cardinals fans, with outsider and insider's perspectives, this is Revenge of the Birds.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans. This is Jess Root, and this is Revenge of the Birds Radio. I'm your host, Jess Root, and we have on the line, let me bring him on, and we've got Seth Cox on the line. Seth, how are you doing tonight?
Good, Jess. How are you?
Hey, it's good times. I mean, this is your wheelhouse because we are actually going to be talking NFL draft. It's the first of what will probably be four total shows where we do NFL draft stuff, so I'm going to be leaning on you really heavy because, you know, you look at college kids a lot differently than I do. I do a lot more reading than watching, but I'm excited. We have some news about the Arizona Cardinals. We got some stuff going on, but we're going to be talking about, before we get started, our focus for tonight's show, recording again on a Tuesday night, Revenge of the Birds Radio. This is episode, I believe, 112, and we are talking about the offensive side of the ball, quarterbacks, and Cardale Jones, who is the hot topic of the last few days. Quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers. So quarterbacks and the skill positions on offense. We will come back again, talk about the trenches, the offensive and defensive lines. And then in another show, we will come back and focus on the defensive skill position, the edge, linebackers, and then the defensive backs. And then leading up to the draft, the week of the draft, which is now a month away, we will mock what we think the Cardinals will do. We'll actually go through a first-round mock of what's going on and get ready for the draft as we are at a fun time of year. But as we get started, let's go ahead and talk about a little bit of news as we have some not much going the way in free agency other than safety Rashad Johnson has left officially and become a member of the Tennessee Titans, headed closer to home. Kind of the interesting thing there is he's been on the radio a lot. He's basically talked to anyone and everyone who would have him on. And he signs a one-year deal, nothing like what we expected him to get, but that's actually kind of been the going rate for some things. Reggie Nelson is still a free agent too, a guy who we thought would probably get some money. But Cardinals let him go. Not only did they let him go, then everyone tried to keep him around. There was not a single contract offer. Seth, does that surprise you at all?
Not with the Tyvon Branch signing, I think. This is the same thing as what they did with Tony Jefferson. They knew the market better than we did, and they said, well, we're not worried about it if we can't get our, you know, one or two, and we don't know who two was. I mean, Tyvon was one. Whether that's a great one plan or not is another discussion, but Tyvon was one, and they got their one, so it didn't matter at that point. They're like, okay, see you later. Like, and, you know, they still have Tony basically under contract, even though he's not technically under contract. And you know, it's good. Here's the good. They've changed the secondary. Remains to be seen how much they've upgraded the secondary, but it also has set the market for Tyrann Mathieu that you're not going to get big money. Like I told you guys, I thought it was $565 for Tyrann before the injury. After the second injury, I thought it was probably going to be closer to three, like 40. You know, a short term deal with lots of incentives. And now, I mean, is it even going to be like 330? I mean, is he even going to get $10 million a year? Because no safety is getting $10 million a year, and even though he doesn't play safety, that's what they list him as. So we'll have to see how that works out. But it's just interesting that the safeties we all thought were good, I mean, Rashad is a nice safety, aren't good to the NFL, apparently.
And, you know, I think it kind of goes with the age. He's a smart player. There was some buzz about him being a scheme player. And I think that probably is what hurt Jefferson, too, is playing in the defense that the Cardinals have, which is highly schemed. they're not viewed as being playmakers on their own as a plug-and-play guy for a particular scheme, although Rashad Johnson will fit in really well in Tennessee running the LeBeau defense because he knows quite well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, I mean, I feel bad for these guys because it's almost like the NFL got together and said, all right, we're not going to pay any safeties. I mean, George Aloka got $6 million a year. Tyvon Branch got $5 million a year. What did Rashad get, $4.5 million?
I actually haven't heard the numbers yet. But
okay. So, I mean, he got nothing in terms of – I mean, he got a one-year deal, so it doesn't even really matter. It can be a $100 million. It really doesn't matter because it's a one-year deal. Like, it's amazing to see that these guys aren't getting paid.
And the fact
like,
the year that Reggie Nelson had, he's still in the market.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's it. You're exactly right. Like, it's a crazy situation.
And for whatever reason is going on. But we're not going to talk so much about free agencies. We're going to hit up NFL draft. Let's go ahead and start with that. We're going to talk about the quarterback position and kind of the hot button issues. We're talking about this is, well, the Cardinals have taken a look at a few guys. We've had some reports on multiple sources saying that the Cardinals have interest in some particular guys. The one guy we absolutely know the Cardinals love is a guy they won't even get to sniff, and that's Carson Wentz. Bruce Arians and Steve Keim, who absolutely, and you can attest to this, absolutely loved, were enamored completely with Blake Bortles a couple of years ago, but wouldn't even mention him before the draft. It wasn't until well after the draft was over that we discovered that it was Bortles that they coveted. Arians is playing enamored with and has said as much he loves Carson Wentz. I think that kind of is them saying, we know he's not going to get drafted anywhere near what they're going to be able to get him at. And he's your number one quarterback in the draft, isn't he? Or particularly for the Cardinals skill set.
Yeah, Wentz is one. And I think those that detract from him unfairly, and those that oversell him unfairly, right? Like, he's not Andrew Luck. That's just asinine to me. I've said all along, I think he's Blake Bortles, but in a different way. I see him as a Bortles type, except he plays it like Bortles was the offense, where Wentz was just a cog in the offense. But they do a lot of similar things. They both have nice arms. They don't have great arms. They both obviously are big. But they're both very athletic within the pocket, moving around, extending plays, the ability to throw on the run. All things that we know BA loves in a quarterback. And I just think BA already came out and said it. Like, hey, this is the guy. Like, we'd love to get him. He's not going to do it. So, he's my one. Connor Cook is my two, as much as it might appall some people, especially those he wasn't a captain type thing. You know what? I look at Connor Cook and I see Carson Palmer. I really do. And maybe not Carson Palmer. Maybe it's more Jay Cutler. But there's a lot of that, that don't give an F attitude, and not in like the, oh, I don't care about the game type of way, but more in like, I don't care. Like, I'm going to make this throw. And like, if it gets intercepted, I made the right play, you know? And I, that's what I see from Connor Cook. That's what I see from Jay Cutler. That's what I see from Carson Palmer. So, I think he fits that mold. Now, the one thing I'll say about the captain thing, maybe that takes him out of the running in the first round, because that's a Cardinals, thing that we've seen. Of course, DJ Humphrey is what is in a captain, so maybe that doesn't matter, right? Like, I guess we can pick and choose when it matters.
Right.
But yeah, so it just, it depends. But I like Cook more than others do. Three is Paxton Lynch. He's the great unknown. He is an interesting prospect to me. I see a lot of Brock Osweiler in him.
Not just because of the height, is it, right? Than me.
No, I just see, like, same type of offense type thing, right? Like, they're both tall, lanky, athletic guys that play in stupid offenses, that stupid, spread college offense where 90% of their throws are within the first 5 yards or behind the
line. And I can laugh at this because I watched Brock, I'm a season ticket holder for Arizona State, and I saw every play that Brock Osweiler ran in that No Mazzoni offense, where it was swing pass, swing pass, swing pass, and he did really well. But even to this day, Brock Osweiler is interesting. I'm not convinced that he is a good starting quarterback. He is, at minimum, an okay guy. Like, a guy quarterback in the league, but even to this day, I'm still not sold on him, and I'm a big ASU homer. And that's kind of the same thing with Paxton Lynch for me is, when someone compares him to Brock Osweiler, I'm like, well, yeah. So I'm not confident enough to say, yeah, Paxton Lynch is the guy, but there are definitely guys who, especially you included, who look at college players and evaluate college players that see something in him.
Yeah, that's, you know, and like I said, there's a lot of people I trust that have him quarterback one. I don't see it, honestly, like as quarterback one. Like, I'm comfortable with him at 29 because I think he's a day two guy. And basically 29 is a day two pick for the Cardinals because they don't have a day or a second round pick. So I'm comfortable with that. Like, if you see a quarterback and you say, okay, I've got him 40 and you've got a, you know, let's just go with a defensive tackle at 20, you know, at 20 on your board, I'm taking the quarterback every time because – unless that defensive tackle becomes Muhammad Wilkerson or J.J. Watt, and even those guys, like, look at the impacts they have on their team. And, you know, so Carson Palmer leaves in a year or 2 years, and all of a sudden you're stuck with Drew Stanton and Matt Barkley fighting it out for the quarterback position. No thanks. So that's just my opinion.
So let's talk about that topic about drafting the first. You've made it clear. For me, when it comes to drafting quarterback in the first round, I'm kind of on board with that, basically because the Cardinals lately seem to be just throwing away their first-round pick for the future. The one thing that I have, and I sort of wrote about it in the piece that we'll bring up a little bit later when we talk about Cardale Jones, is, you know, BA is not a guy who wants quarterback to sit. He doesn't really see a point to it. If you like a guy that you draft high, he needs to play. And I can appreciate sort of the foresight of drafting a DJ Humphreys last year with the idea that he would take over for Bobby Massey after he leaves in free agency. That's a one-year thing. We're still looking at the quarterback position as likely two more years if we're just looking contract situation. It could be just be one, but based on everything we've seen about Carson Palmer so far, there is zero indication that he wants to play this one more year. And contract-wise, when you look at how his contract is set up, it's more or less he's pretty much locked in for this coming year in 2017 when you look at the contract numbers and the salary cap. So if you draft a guy, for me, drafting a quarterback in the first round is even more of a throwaway pick because you're looking at a guy who won't sniff the field for two seasons. And I'm much more leery about making a pick for a guy that I'm not going to see any impact at all for 2 years. I mean, we already saw that happen with Jonathan Cooper, but that was more of that just didn't work out, and injuries and everything else. DJ Humphreys, we're expecting him to jump in year two. Dan Buchanan played a significant role in year one and then even bigger role in year two. I get drafting a quarterback early, but I'm not the biggest fan of it because it's still 2 years away, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, here's the thing. I'm not a huge Lynch guy, so if they took him at 29, I'm not going to be upset because I think you have to trust the regime. Yeah. Like, they've earned that. Even if Humphreys bust and they're, you know, 1-for-3 on first round
and over
picks,
two on the O line, like, mind you, that's concern. Yeah. That does become a concern when you have a former offensive lineman as a general manager.
Yeah, but it does become a concern. But it's not the be all end all, and so, you know, like I said, I take Cook before I take Lynch. That's just me. And they don't have the ammo. They don't have the ammo to trade up to get wins.
No, they already have, like, tied for the least amount of picks in the draft. They'd be trading away next year's picks.
Yeah, and so here's the thing, though. Like, I mean, who are you going to draft on this Ross or on, you know, in this draft say Lynch is on the board. Who are you going to draft that is going to have a major impact this year? The only answer is a center and a cornerback. So then you're not drafting best player available. You're drafting for need.
Right? Unless it happens to magically hit where those two positions are the top of the board, right?
Yeah. Well, and then they're going to be undrafted. Like if they say,
if it was the top of our draft board, duh. Board.
Yeah. We got our third ranked player. No, you didn't. You're a liar. But yeah, so it's it's an interesting dichotomy that you kind of have to break through. Here's what I think personally. I think that if you're not sold on Connor Cook, you have to take Lynch if he's your guy. And obviously we're talking from our perspective,
right?
Like if he's your guy. But I don't think you can pass on him. Like, I just don't think what's the word I'm looking for? I just don't think it's intelligent management. If you say, we have this ranking on Lynch and we pass on him. Now, we're never going to know the honest truth, right? Like, this is never going to come out. But if Lynch ends up becoming, you know, even David Carr level good, or Derek Carr level good.
That was good. That was David Carr good.
If he becomes Derek Carr level good and you didn't draft him, I mean, man, you got a lot of explaining.
Because guess what? The question has already come up because they let Derek Carr go.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And that's the thing. Like, he's a good young quarterback. I mean, he's one of the top five young quarterbacks in the NFL already after two seasons. And you know, you wonder if they had to do it over again, you know, what would they have done? But Deion Buchanan's also a cog to the defense, so it's a tough thing. But yeah, so I think you have to if that's your guy. Like, even if there's I can't even think of it. Like, even if a Shaq Lawson was to fall to 29, and you know how I feel about pass rushers. Like, if you think enough of Paxton Lynch or Connor Cook, pull the trigger. Like, don't wait again. Don't make the mistake again of going the easy route in defense and passing on a guy that can potentially, it's going to be 2017 or 18, but could potentially be the future of your franchise.
I mean, that does work out for teams like, you know, Green Bay, but... Yeah, it's an interesting thing for me because I see it from a different perspective. I could understand why they would draft a guy in round one, but even, you know, if I had to, I'm gonna side with you. If they think that Lynch might be, if they have him as, yeah, he's gonna be a start in this league and he's gonna be good, then they have to take him because of that impact. And you never know what, you know, where you're gonna be placed year from year to year to be able to pick up a quarterback. In terms of if I were running the draft, I'd have to be completely sold on a quarterback to take him in round one, even at number 29. I think there are other positions where you could have impact year one or even year two. I'll mention this a little bit later, Morris, but I'm, you know, it's not a Bruce Arians thing to do, but I could see receiver being a position that comes up, especially since both Floyd and Fitzgerald are in the last years of their deal. That could be a position where you could see them go. But I don't want to talk so much about the receivers. But here's a report that came up, and you tweeted it. I think you texted it to me, and that's the notion that Christian Hackenberg could be on the Cardinals' radar for the first round. Tell me what you really think of that.
Here's how I look at this, okay? There's two guys I would be cool with in the first round. There's Wentz and Cook. You know, whether Connor Cook is actually good or not is a whole other story, but that's just me. There's a guy that I'm like, all right, whatever, on Lynch. Then there's a group after that, and it's Cardell Jones, Christian Hackenberg, and Dak Prescott that I'm like, you want to take that guy in round three or four, I'm all about it. If you take anybody but Wentz and Cook for me, I'm going to have questions. And if you take Christian freaking Hackenberg at 29, not only am I going to have questions, but I'm gonna wonder aloud, like, what is going on? Like, I'm still a believer in Hack. I really am. And I'm a believer in, if you think a guy's, you know, going to be a future player, you make that pick. But you can't tell me that there are teams that look at him and go, well, we're going to take him, you know, day two or round two. Like, we're going to take him top 40 or top 50. Like, and if there are, let them bite that bullet. And if they're right, okay, that's fine. But they're taking a huge gamble. Like, this isn't even like, you know, Colin Kaepernick at 38 or Andy Dalton. Like, this is Logan Thomas type stuff, right? Like, this is Logan Thomas type pick at you know, if you take him in the top 100, and it's a swing for the fences, there's no in between. This guy's either going to be good or he's going to suck. And I just, like, I can't believe that's even a real thing. Like, I honestly can't.
Well, here's something that's kind of come up, and I didn't read the report itself, but it would appear, according, I think it's Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, that we might see on that other group of quarterbacks that you mentioned, you get a Hackenberg, a Cardale Jones, any number of these players, that we might see a run on these players as early as the second round, which could put the Cardinals in an interesting situation because they have no second round pick because they got Chandler Jones. Now, we agree that that was a very good trade. But in terms of thinking ahead to the future, if they want to draft a quarterback, it is almost painting them into the corner of having to take one in round one when they might not necessarily want to. There's always the possibility of trading back. But the thing about trading back is you have to have a team that wants to trade up for a guy that they want. And you cannot count on that. I know Dan Kadar's SB Nation's latest mock draft has the Cardinals trading back with the Browns, with Shaq Lawson sitting there. Do you pass up on a Shaq Lawson? That seems silly. But who do they pick with and when they move back, and who do they get in exchange? So
I'll say this though on that, like, if they do that, like, if Shaq's at 29 and a team like, say, Cleveland took Wentz at 2, and so they say, okay, we want to go get, you know, Shaq at 33, so we're going to get Shaq, and I got to look to make sure they have a third-round pick. But, you know, and they're giving up a third-round pick too or whatever. I think you do that because here's why. I think if you're saying, all right, I'm going to pick Hack at 29, and, you know, whether they are or not, you know, whatever. But I'm going to pick Hack at 29. And you got Cleveland on the phone saying, I'll give you a 2 and a 3 so we can go get Shaq Lawson. Even if it's a 2 and a 4. We'll take a 2 and a 4 and go get Shaq Lawson. And you're sitting there and you're going, well, we're going to take Christian Hackenberg. I don't think he's going to get picked before the first pick of the second round. Because remember, the Browns, I think, have the first pick of the second round. So... You know, and this is just the Browns, even if this is like pick 6 in the second round. I still think you make that trade because then you take Hack at 2002, sorry. You take Hack at the top of the second round and get that extra third or fourth round pick. And then all of a sudden, all right, you know, that's your flyer pick. That's your Rodney Gunter. That's your Tyrann Mathieu. That's your, you know, all those flyer picks that the Cardinals have, John Brown. You know, all those picks that they've made that have worked out, and then some that they haven't. Kareem Martin was a flyer pick. I mean, he was. And so that's, you know, so all of a sudden you're making a flyer pick in round 2 as opposed to round 3. You know, and what does it matter? Because let's be honest. We both thought Troy Nicholas and Kevin Minter would be, you know, more than what they are, and nope. They're not. So, you know, can you really blame them if they go, okay, we're going to take Christian Hackenberg at 33 and see what the hell happens?
So let's go ahead and let's move towards a quarterback that is now dividing. In fact, that's up next. Up next, we're going to talk about a quarterback that really is dividing the Cardinals community, both media and fans. Who is that guy? That would be Kyle Jones, Ohio State quarterback. And his name is coming up. So tell me, Seth, what it is that your thoughts and some of the things you get on Cardale Jones. I wrote about it today on RevengeOfTheBirds.com. Again, we haven't brought it up yet, but RevengeOfTheBirds.com, that's the place to go for Cardinals. It's the SB Nation site. So I run that. Seth's a contributor. He's here on the podcast. But I wrote a piece about Cardale Jones today after conversations with you. I warmed on the idea of a Cardale Jones. In fact, I wrote it as this. He makes the perfect quarterback project looking ahead. And I kind of lay it out, talking some of the things where I have. I don't necessarily want the Cardinals to draft a quarterback round one, because it kind of goes against what Bruce Arians is about when it comes to quarterbacks. You take a guy that fits, checks off a lot of boxes physically. He's not Logan Thomas, and you're going to go on that in just a second. But he's a guy that in round three, that he still needs to sit and he still needs to learn. And his ceiling is really high. He's the guy I would love to see them draft now. I think I finally warmed up to it. So let's get your take on Cardale Jones. And we can kind of discuss, well, when the Cardinals would have to get him, if they're even going to even be able to get him, and whether or not it'd be a good idea.
So people I've talked to, and I, you know, I have some connections, and you know, here's the first thing. The Cardinals are bringing him in for a private workout. The thing I was told was this private workout is going to be heavy on the mental side of the game, chalkboard session, stuff like that. Like, he's got to prove that he's a quick study. I text a couple people I know that are in tune to the Ohio State program. Here was what they said, and I sent these all to you, so Jess knows this already, but here's what I sent to you. Because let's start from the beginning. Cardale is a fantastic athlete. Big, strong, best arm in the draft, bar none. Like, I mean, he'd come in with the top five arm in the NFL, just in terms of arm strength and whatnot. So, I mean, he's a special, special guy in that vein. Now, the question is the mental side. There's a lot of people that question the mental side, and that's why they call him Logan Thomas 2.0. So here's the thing, right? Logan Thomas got progressively worse from his freshman year till when he left for the NFL and finally kind of bottomed out at the end. I think he was a sub 55% completion percentage by the end of his time at Virginia Tech. So the question was accuracy and you know, mental capability. He got to the NFL. He still couldn't throw the ball accurately. And apparently he couldn't grasp the mental side. You look at Cardale Jones, just under 61% his whatever that was, I think, sophomore year. I don't even know because he redshirted 1 year. In a three-game stretch that was one of the greatest three-game stretches in college football history, just in terms of, you know, if you want to label a backup quarterback. And people really believed he was a guy that was going to go in the top two rounds. He decided to come back and improve his stock, thinking he could be quarterback one, and he went to back to Ohio State. Tom Herman, the offensive coordinator, left and is now the head coach of Houston. They changed the offense about game two or three into the season. I can't remember which one. And they went back to Urban Meyer's read option garbage offense that they have at Florida and whatnot.
So, Tim Tebow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so a lot of dink and dunk. A lot of quarterback runs, things of that nature. Ball control, keep the ball out of the quarterback's hands, don't ask him to make plays. I think he started five or six games this year. I'm not really sure. But here's the thing. So here's the thing nobody talks about. Rag on him, dump on him, whatever. Dude never lost a start in his entire career. Ever. Like, ever. So he's undefeated in college football. Never lost a game. JT Barrett was the starter when they lost their game this year. You look at him, like I said, you want to talk about a guy that can make all the throws. You're talking about a guy that has accuracy down the field at a elite level already. So the Logan Thomas comps right off the bat are dumb because he went from a 60, just under 61% to just over 63%, closer to 64% completion percentage from year one to year two. Then from there, he, he continued to kind of have trouble with the offense. He's got a, kind of a shotgun scattershot accuracy thing going in close. He just hasn't learned how to change velocity on throws yet, and his touch on short throws behind the line of scrimmage. Not something that's going to be done a lot in the BA offense, so not a huge worry. But then the biggest thing was clearly the mental side of things. Like that's what ended up killing Logan Thomas, and if that's what happens, that's what is going to end up killing Cardale Jones. So I asked some people. I said, "What do you know about the mental side of things from Cardale? What have you heard? Who have you talked to?" One person has talked to Urban Meyer that I talked to. One person knows Tom Herman. So I mean, kind of really good people to get information from. Obviously, they're also not going to dog him. So take it with a grain of salt, too, right? So one person said he was lazy in the quarterback room before he got the starting gig. And then from there, it took off. And I had never heard anything about him being limited. He's a quick study, but had almost no understanding of how to read the field on anything when he left OSU. He's been working with the QB coach, though, and is supposedly getting up to speed. He was known as lazy. Supposedly did a 180. Also, his GPA is above 3.0 for whatever, and he's graduating in the spring. Apparently, that's a huge deal because he didn't take the Wonderlic, right? Like, so people are like, "Oh, what's he hiding?" But he's graduating. Like, this is the guy that tweeted out that quarterbacks and college football players are there to play football, not go to class, and he's graduating with a 3.0. Like, I know people that went to school full time and didn't play football and didn't graduate through a 3.0. So there's the mental side of things that, I've heard. And overall, my take on Cardale is this. I don't think he's Logan Thomas. I think his floor is a guy like – I'm trying to think of – I think his floor is probably going to be like I can't even think of anybody right now off the top of my head. But his ceiling, and I heard this comp today from Emery Hunt, a buddy of mine, his ceiling is Matt Stafford, and that's kind of what I see. Obviously, he's not as fragile as Stafford is, but he has that same, attitude as Cutler and Stafford, and he has that arm strength that makes you go, "What are you? Oh, that's a completion." But that's what he has. And so that pass that Logan Thomas completed to Andre Ellington, the one pass that everybody remembers, there's three guys in the NFL right now that can make that throw. Cardale Jones is number four. So, again, take that for what it's worth. Yes, I know there's going to be questions about everything because, he's big and he's an African-American quarterback. So he's Logan Thomas 2.0. No, he's not. He's a completely different player. He's a much better quarterback prospect in terms of, what he can do from the quarterback position. He has less to break down than Logan Thomas did when he'll be drafted. And
well, because Thomas had serious mechanical problems as well. There were bad mechanics that he was trying to work through.
He had mechanical and bad footwork stuff. So overall, though, like, here's my thing. I'm not like super high on Cardale. Like, I'm not the guy saying, "Oh, got to take Cardale in round three." Like, that has to be the pick. Like, they take Cardale, Hack. I mean, Dak. It really doesn't matter to me. Like, whatever. But if you're asking me who's gonna if they hit, is going to be the best quarterback, it's Cardell Jones, bar none. Like, he'll be the best quarterback from this draft if he ends up being good.
Because, well, that's a couple of guys. Benjamin Albright, I know he's polarizing on Twitter, but he says Carson Wentz number one and Cardale Jones number two. He'd bet on it that he'll be at least the second best quarterback of this class, and that for me, I like that. And so if the Cardinals are taking a quarterback this year, I like the Jones pick, and I like that they can get him because, you know, a third rounder, a fourth rounder, you're okay with him sitting 2 years as long as he proves that he can do the mental side of things. Obviously, I don't want him to do anything. Drafting a quarterback late reminds us all of John Skelton and Ryan Lindley and Logan Thomas, just mitigated disasters. and so I like the idea of Cardinals. But the question is this. He's now projected, I think Daniel Jeremiah said this, that Jones is probably going to go in round two.
Yeah, he's not going to be there at 92. I'll be shocked.
And so the question is, would he be a guy now? If the Cardinals can't get a guy because there's a run on him in round two, what do they do at the end of round three or at the end of round four? Is there a guy after that that's worth taking, or are they just going with another Matt Barkley-type player?
Yeah, you know, it's tough to decide in this draft. Oh, man, I'm just looking over the names because they're not always pretty. Wentz, Goff, yeah. Lynch, Cook. I'm not a Dowdy guy at all. I know people are. I'm not. Kevin Hogan, his arm, like his windup is infuriating. I think Vernon Adams, but I mean, he's never going to get picked because of the size profile. He's like 5'11", and so BA would never draft him. But I mean, if you just look at this group, you could probably talk me into Hogan or that's maybe Jake Coker. I mean, they're all just so not good. So, I mean, like, honestly, if you don't get one out of, I'm not going to put Goff on here. I know some people like him. I just don't see him in an Arians offense. If you don't get one of Wentz, Cook, Lynch, and then the next, you know, kind of triumphant of Prescott, Jones, and Hackenberg, it's probably best just not to draft one. Like, honestly, like Driscoll, Brissett, Sudfeld, like I said, I'd take Vernon Adams and Trevon Boykin. But again, size profile, they just don't fit what Arians does. So.
And so the question is we kind of have this. If they don't, if there ends up being a run of quarterbacks in round two, are they better off waiting? Now, I'm okay with that because I still think we have, then I think quarterback becomes a priority in 2017, and then it becomes utterly important that they draft a guy that they really like. Because, and even then it's not critical, because then you can just draft a guy and play him. Because that's what BA wants to do, is draft a guy and play him. That's really what he prefers to do, because he doesn't believe quarterbacks really learn anything on the bench. And that's kind of partially true, because even Carson Palmer, when he sat a year, he said what he learned behind John Kitna wasn't anything about playing quarterback. It was being an NFL player, being a professional, how to go about the practice side of things. So do you, you know, if you were the Cardinals, if you're Steve Kine, Cardale Jones in there, and you're left with a Kevin Hogan or Dowdy or these guys, who reportedly the Cardinals have some interest in at least, do you decide, you pass on those guys? I would. I don't see anyone that's going to be, I don't see the purpose of drafting a guy who might at best be a backup when you've already got really a Brent. You've already got Drew Stanton for 2 years, and you've got Matt Barkley, whose ceiling is probably a backup.
Yeah, I don't see a point in it. Like, honestly, I don't. I think it's high end, not high end starter, obviously, but like high end could be a starter type or none. Like, because again, like you said, they've got Barkley. Is Brandon Dowdy really better than Barkley? I don't think so.
And we wouldn't think so considering the quarterback pedigree he came in with, Barkley did, because he was, you know, had he not come back for senior season, he would have been drafted number one probably.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just, so you just have to decide on that. I don't see it. Like I said, I think there's a group of six. If you don't get one of those six, then you get out and you go into 2017. Because here's the other thing, right? Like, 2017 and then especially 2018, like all of a sudden you're kind of in, I don't want to say rebuild mode, but you're in a different area, so you're going to have to make a decision on how you're going to build this team. And all of a sudden you have more to play with. You're going to have draft picks to play with. You're going to be able to be a little more aggressive because you can say, all right, I know that, you know, where we're going to be in 2018 or where we're going to be in 2019. So I'm just going to go for it and go get, you know, draft quarterback prospect X that I want. And that's what we'll do.
So let's move on from the quarterbacks. Let's talk, I mean, a little bit of time, you know, if we can spend a little bit of time on some of the other skilled players. So up next, let's talk wide receivers and running backs and who could there be based on some of the things we've had from comments and Bruce Arians. Let's start with the running backs. Bruce Arians said one of the things he'd like to do is to get, you know, another David Johnson. That kind of seems kind of funny because how many David Johnsons are there in the world? Because you tell, no one really expected what, I mean, there was hope, but they really were enamored with him. Do you see any sort of running back in this year's class that tells you that you've got, you know, something like David Johnson? I mean, there's one name that's out there that I've heard. Was it Jonathan Williams, Arkansas, that, you know, sort of can be that guy?
So I got two names, and one I'm higher on, and one I'm interested in, but he's super injury prone. The first one is CJ Prostice from Notre Dame. Prostice is interesting because he wasn't, I think he was like running back three for them this year. And then he just played really, really well. And so I'm cool with a Prostice type guy. Looking up, 6 feet, 220, ran a 4.48. So he's got the same type of speed and, you know, explosiveness that DJ has. He's compared by some people to like a Fred Jackson type. And so I'd say like,
that's a good one.
I'd say, you know, Fred Jackson is comparable. Like, we all hope, and Fred Jackson was really good for a long time. So I feel bad saying this, but we all hope that DJ is more than Fred Jackson, but even if he has kind of a Fred Jackson like career, that's still pretty good. So that's the first one. The second one we've talked about before, I think his name's Kenyon Drake from Alabama. Explosive linear athlete, like straightforward, and a guy that can just, I mean, he can move. And when he gets the ball in his hands, he can make plays. Whether it's, you know, running the ball, catching the ball out of the backfield, or returning kicks. The thing with him is he's had like two freak injuries, I'm pretty sure. So he's just a guy that, I mean, anything before day three to me on a guy with injury concerns, even like a Jalen Smith, is just too much. Like, you can't take a guy in the first three rounds that you're just hoping can stay healthy. I mean, he's kind of got a little Andre Ellington to him in that way. So, you know, but yeah, I'm looking at Fred Jackson right now. Yeah, like if DJ, obviously we hope longer, but if he had this type of career, I think, you know, you'd be happy with it, it's type stuff. So that's what you have to look at there. But Drake, like I said, super athlete, really aggressive, able to do a lot of things with the ball in his hands. Just got to stay healthy. He's more explosive than Andre Ellington. So, like, he's like an Andre Ellington on healthy steroids.
Now, what do you, you know, Do you see any of the do you see the Cardinals going running back at all before day three? At this point, since they only have the round one, round three, I think it's really, really unlikely they do that. I would be honestly surprised, especially bringing back Chris Johnson. They kind of have their running back room kind of full in terms of what they're going to have. The only thing I can see them doing is drafting a guy who is also a special teams type player. Because they need help with that, since now they've got apparently three running backs who don't play special teams.
Yeah, so like Kenyon Drake, like I said, I think ProSize can be a special teamer. Like, he's not going to be a return man, I don't think. But I'm like, unless a freak thing with Zeke Henry happens, I'm not taking a guy in the top three rounds, obviously, for the Cardinals in the first three rounds. But if... You know, if Zeke Henry falls, Zeke Elliott falls.
Combine those two guys, that'd be one hell of a back.
Yeah, if Zeke Elliott falls, I'm snatching him up, like, right away. So, like, I don't even care if it's a running back and you have David Johnson, blah, blah, blah. Like, just run the ball 70 times a game. Like, I don't care. Like, just run the ball. It'll be crazy and interesting and... But outside of that, like, I'm kind of with you. Like, day three, if a guy falls into round four, like a ProSize that you like, go grab him.
And then the receivers, there's kind of an interesting – you've talked about this in years past. Bruce Arians has a type of receiver he likes to draft. And it's not early. He doesn't draft him early. He doesn't draft him tall. But he drafts him fast. And when we've got – No, we've got, you know, as much as they talk about Bruce Arians as a quarterback guru, really the thing he's great at is developing young wide receivers. So you go back to Pittsburgh, you've got Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown. And then you've got T.Y. Hilton. Then you've got John Brown. And so you're seeing a pattern of guys that he drafts who in this NFL can make big impacts, and John Brown might be taking that, and even, you know, the minimal impact that J.J. Nelson has had, he loves guys that can run. Now, he kind of has a luxury in Michael Floyd, because he's not used to guys with that speed and size combo. It's really, physically, Michael Floyd is freakish at the receiver position. He can do things down the field with his size, and still be a deep threat. The thing is that one of the interesting comments is that they talked about drafting a Larry Fitzgerald's replacement. And what I don't think they mean is a star receiver, you know, type of Hall of Famer, but rather the role he plays, which is, for lack of a better term, is a glorified tight end. Is the way a lot of teams use their tight ends, that's how they use Larry Fitzgerald. He's an inline blocker on running plays. He catches passes in the intermediate, and then off play action and in zone coverage, those plays. And then because of how they were running the ball and how well they were playing on play action, he was able to make big impact. And so a John Brown, T.Y. Hilton, Antonio Brown type receiver is not going to fit for that profile. They need a bigger, doesn't necessarily have to be slow, but a guy that's able and willing to block, more physical. Do you see anybody that the Cardinals could be looking at on both ends, whether to be another speedy guy, because B.A. is just completely enamored with those, or a guy who could play that Fitz role?
So, I don't know if you saw it, and I was going to tag you guys in it, but I just decided not to. But the Cardinals sent their wide receiver coach to Ole Miss.
I saw that. So, was it for Treadwell, or was it for Core, or was it for both?
Yeah, so, and they're both big guys. I mean, Core's 6'3", a little bit faster, more athletic type. But
he also has the speed element, too.
Yeah. But Treadwell's super interesting, right? Like, could that be the guy that they replace Fitz with to get that player in the end of the first round at 29? Because I think that's where he ends up going, you know, between that 15 and 30 range. St. Louis could take him. Minnesota could take him. I mean, there's the Bengals could take him. There's a bunch of teams that can take him. But if he gets 29, do you take him there? Because, like, he can play inside, he can play outside, he can do a lot of things. And, you know, he's got the size, and then, like you said, Arians will coach him up to be an impact blocker. So that's, you know, that's an interesting one to me to think about.
And that's also a position I mentioned earlier I kind of like in round one, even though it's not an Arians thing to do. I kind of like that. If you're looking to the future, they haven't approached Michael Floyd about his contract, so who knows if they have him in their long-term plans. Fitz is entering the last year of his deal. John Brown is going to come due for his big contract extension as early as this next offseason. But the Cardinals at receiver are kind of... And I'm still not sold that J.J. Nelson's going to be a much more than a number four, flashy, one play every couple of games type of receiver. After all, what he didn't produce much in college. He's got fast, and there's potential, but I don't think he's ever going to be a number one, number two, or even a number three. So they do kind of need to look at the receiver of the future. Would that be round one? Are there other guys? That was one, in fact, I haven't written about. I meant to get that down. Is they both kind of fill a role. I would think the core might be more the Arians guy. But Arians has always wanted a receiver who were willing to get down and dirty. Hines Ward played that role in Pittsburgh. And they got Larry Fitzgerald here. They need someone in that offense who is a better receiver than a tight end, yet is willing to, so that they can spread the field more, but yet do tight end type things in the running game.
Right. And I think, you know, so that may be why they were there. Like, they may be talking to Tread, like, hey, how willing of a blocker are you? How much do you put into it? Like, what are your thoughts? Obviously we weren't there, so we don't know, but like, it was just interesting to me that they would send him out there. Other guys, I mean, I've talked about him. Colby Listenby is an interesting one. He's another sub 4.4 guy from TCU, the other TCU wide receiver. He's a track star, so he's a little raw, lanky guy, kind of like a similar build to. I'm trying to think what his name is. Oh, it's escaping me right now. But Ted Ginn, like similar build, not hand, similar build to Ted Ginn. So, and he's got that world-class speed. Yeah, 4.39 and the 40. The other one was Will Fuller.
Will Fuller. If there's a Bruce Arians guy in that class, that he screams Bruce Arians to me.
Yeah.
Oh, granted, I mean, there are concerns with the hands on some plays down the field, but, I mean... Even, you know, we've seen receiver. We've been really spoiled by having Larry Fitzgerald, who just doesn't drop passes. And when he does, we're like, what? Some of the best receivers. Some of the best. Like Calvin Johnson dropped easy passes. Terrell Owens dropped passes. Chad Johnson, Brett dropped passes. Those were great receivers. So just because they dropped doesn't mean they're Ted Ginn.
Right. So, you know, that's what you have to kind of look at. I'm going through the wide receivers now because...
Although Arians did say this was the slowest class he'd seen in 20 years.
Yeah, they are. They're slow, man. I'm telling you what. Yeah, I don't see anybody like Michael Thomas from Ohio State is interesting. Tyler Boyd, maybe. Braxton Miller is intriguing. And Leonte Cruz, the one that like would really, really make sense to me because of his size and his demeanor. He kind of plays like a Hines Ward, Anquan Boldin, like – almost on that edge of dirty, you know, but like super physical guy, willing to go across the middle, work out a slot. I think he'd be a nice fit, but again, they don't have a second round pick. So it's really hard all of a sudden to find, you know, a guy that fits everything.
So what are we looking at in terms of what we're looking at on these positions right now? And we didn't even talk tight end, but that's okay. We can throw them in with the trench guys next week. We seem to feel that it's trending towards we're going to see very likely to see a quarterback drafted. Would you agree? The Cardinals seem from likely to very likely to pick a guy.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be a hard I don't want to say hard sell, but it's going to be a hard process because they're either going to have to take one early, like I said, unless a Lynch falls and they're enamored with him, or for some odd reason Wentz falls, it's not going to happen. But like, unless one of those two things happens, they're going to have to take somebody early, like Connor Cook, God forbid, Christian Hackenberg in round one, or they're going to have to hope that one of those next tier of guys, the Dak, Hack, and Cardell triumvirate of fall into round three, right? At the end of round three, because 92. So it's pretty deep in there. We can go over tight ends real quick because they're garbage in this class. Like, you guys are all great people if you end up listening to this show. And I'm so glad the Cardinals drafted you. But, like, honestly, this class is just ugh. Hunter Henry's not a good athlete out of Arkansas. Kind of a Dallas Clark type. Austin Hooper's kind of a, I know I'm going to cheat here, Kobe Fleener type, the Stanford tight end. He's more physical, though, so I'll give him that. Like, Hooper's the one that intrigues me, and Nick Vinette out of Ohio State. Those are the two really intriguing ones, if you want to talk about tight ends. But, again, I'm not sure either of those guys make it to round three, and neither of them are worth a round two pick, so don't even, like, get me started on that. I'm trying to think anybody else. Like, there's a couple of small school guys that have been talked about. What was his name? David Morgan, I think, is one of them. Tamarik Hemingway was the other one. I'm going through my list of stuff. And then a guy that's super interesting to me, but I just don't see him having a spot for in the Cardinals offense, is Thomas Duarte out of UCLA. So those are, like, those are the names to know. Like I said, Vinette and Hooper make the most sense because they can be inline or wide guys. The other guys, the other two, like, big names are Ben Brockener or Broniker and Tyler Higbee, and I don't know where to find Harvard or Western Kentucky film, so I have not watched them. So I'm not even going to try to lie about that, but Those are the names. Like, honestly, it's just such an unappealing class when you take out a second round pick, because then you're talking about the Cardinals. Like, and I have no, like you said to open the show, that trading that second round pick for Chandler Jones was like, if they traded a first round pick, you weren't going to hear a peep out of me, because that's how I feel about this class. Like, honestly, I would prefer if they would have taken or traded a first-round pick, because that second-round pick, to me, is going to have more value in terms of guys that will be available in the second round that I would take in the second round, as opposed to, are you going to reach for a guy at a position of need in round one, right? Like, are you going to reach for a, you know, Christian Hackenberg at 29 because you need a quarterback and you don't know if he's going to be there at 92, in which case,
and so
it's like,
okay, right.
Yeah.
So instead, you trade the first round pick. Instead of getting Hackenberg, you end up with Cardale Jones at the end of the second.
Exactly. So that's the question you have. But like you said, from the perspective of the skill position players, I expect them to come out with two. I don't know which way that's going to work at. I don't know if it's going to be a quarterback and a running back, a quarterback and a wide receiver, or, you know, maybe they just skip the quarterback and go running back, wide receiver. But I think they're going to come out with two skill position players in this draft, and it's going to anger some fans because they're on a Super Bowl run. They have to be drafting for the Super Bowl. But to go back to a point I made earlier, how many of these guys are going to have an impact? There's a center position and a cornerback position. That's really it on this roster.
And a cornerback, it's still only maybe, because they haven't given up on Justin Bethel.
No, exactly. So it's really just a center. And they like A.Q. Shipley. So it's not like...
Yeah. It's like, they might draft Ryan Kelly in the first round and have him sit for a year.
Yeah, behind A.Q. Shipley. How mad would that make everybody? I mean, we can talk about that next episode when we talk about the trenches. But how awesome would it be if, you know, everybody's clamoring oh, we got to draft William Jackson III or Ryan Kelly. And they take Ryan Kelly and then bench him for the entire season.
I think I called that like months ago.
Yeah.
Like, go watch them. I think it was just, I wasn't necessarily Kelly to say, watch them draft a center in the first round and let him sit for a year.
Exactly. Because that's, I think you said that right after they signed Evan Mathis. That was your take. You're like, well, now that they have another guard, they'll draft a center that can sit for a year and play in 2017. And that's probably, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't be shocked in the least. So for me, I think the Cardinals, for me, are trending to likely to, highly likely, from likely to pretty likely that the Cardinals are going to take a quarterback. I lean towards more unlikely at the running back position. And at receiver, I think it's a given. They'll get one. I would be surprised if they don't, whether it's a special team or whether it's a return type guy, gunner. BA loves his receivers. And tight ends, luckily, for what Bruce Arians likes in his tight ends, doesn't really matter. Because they're not, I mean, it kind of fly, and plus their tight end room is really kind of full between Jermaine Gresham and Darren Fells, and I know they still like Troy Nicholas. I mean, but he could disappear after this year, and no one would really bat an eye. They're not asked to do much, and so they don't need to be much more than blockers who can catch a pass or two and well, stay on the field.
And there are those in this draft class, I always goof around about it, but. It's not like super trash, but it's like I wouldn't take any of these guys in the first three rounds, honestly. Like Vinette, you could sell me on Vinette and Hooper if they fell to round three, but I'm not gonna at all be like, yeah, go get them. Like I'd rather take a safety or a corner or a defensive lineman like a Javon Hargrave that I've talked about quite a bit. Or even a center like a Nick Martin or a Jack Allen in round three and just maybe take a flyer. Because you got to remember the other guy. They have Gerald Christensen. Christensen?
They do.
And
Joe Christian.
And yeah. They liked him. And he was probably going to make the roster before he got hurt. So.
And they still really like Ifeanyi Moma, but not necessarily as the same as a every down type tight end because they love what he can do in the matchups he causes in the passing game.
Yep. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, but I think they come away with two position players. Like you said, I think wide receiver might be a given, but I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, because as Arians pointed out how slow the draft class is and you know how much that irks him. So maybe he does, you know, does skip it this year. Jordan Payton's a guy to remember in terms of that, though. He's a he's kind of a Ryan Swope clone, minus the concussions. So
that's good.
So he's, you know, like when he ran, everybody's like, Jordan Payton ran what? And then you go back and look at Ryan Swope, and you know he ran a 4.47. So, and he's a big dude, like. He's thick and muscular. They list him at 6'1". He's like 6 feet, maybe. But he's 200 pounds. He's like a broad dude. So, like, I think he could be, you know, in that Hines Fitz role. And he'd be a guy you can get on day three, like fifth, sixth round. And they have, what, 2 fifths and 2 sixths now? Or 1 fifth?
I think it's the 2 fifth, and I think it's just the 1 sixth.
Okay. So, yeah, so they got 2 fifths, so I could definitely see that there. That would make a ton of sense to me. I think that's kind of like what I see from this skill position class. I'm not huge on a bunch of guys. There's, like I said, 6 quarterbacks, like 2 running. Like, again, I like more guys than that, but we're talking specifically for the Cardinals. Like, I'm not going to go through Derrick Henry. I love Derrick Henry. I think he's going to be a great running back. I'm not taking him at 29 because I don't see his fit in this offense with Chris Johnson already here and David Johnson obviously being the future bell cow. If Derrick Henry came out 2 years from now and we're in year 3 of David Johnson, I'd be all about that. because I'd be like, yeah. Oh, you've ran David Johnson into the ground. Now go get his replacement, Derrick Henry. And then after, you know, year four, you don't pay David Johnson. You just run Derrick Henry into the ground. But unfortunately, it's too soon for that.
All right. Well, that should bring us to a wrap for our first of our, I believe it will be four draft shows leading up to the NFL draft. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Make sure you catch it. I know we're catching us late in the show. If you're still listening, it's fantastic. Make sure you listen to the NFL Draft Breakdown podcast. What's on tap this week for your show, Seth?
We're taking a break from positional reviews. I think we're done with positional reviews, actually. So we're taking a break from that, and we're going into
just hot takes. Yep, hot takes this week.
Hot takes this week. We've got a text message between Justin and I. Similar to other text message chats I've got going. And we've got about, just getting to it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We got 10 already lined up. So it's going to be a hoot tomorrow. So it'll be fun. Not a ton of, like, we'll have some draft nuggets in there that we'll talk about, but not a ton of, like, you know, prospect breakdown type stuff, but it'll be fun. And then we're probably going to go divisional, team, maybe some team focused stuff after that. I don't know, that's kind of boring and people don't really care about that, so we'll see what the fans want.
And make sure you're catching that. You can catch that on SoundCloud, iTunes, or, you know, their site, NFL Draft Breakdown. Or, you know, this, once they have the show posted sometime later this week, I'll have it up on revengeofthebirds.com. Head over to revengeofthebirds.com, become a member there, join the great Cardinals fan base that we've got that is actually having some really good off-season talk, whether it's just general things among community members. And, you know, Revenge of the Birds has been on the radio a few times. They got another shout-out today on Gambo and on Burns and Gambo. But that'll wrap up our show. We'll be back, I believe, next week. We'll talk about the trenches. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening to Revenge of the Birds Radio. And that's a wrap, guys. Go Cardinals.
Have a good night.
You've been listening to Revenge of the Birds. Keep the conversation going by visiting revengeofthebirds.com. Follow us on Twitter at Revenge of Birds. You can also find us on iTunes at facebook.com/Revenge of the Birds.
Got it.